You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're joined by George Raceley. He is the remarkable editor and extraordinarily gifted columnist at Conservative HQ. He has, to his credit, a number of distinctions, including his membership in the Genius Society, known as Mensa. He is also a veteran of hundreds of political campaigns, including every Republic presidential one from 1976 to 2008. He's worked for such figures as Ronald Reagan, Jack Kemp, Dan Quayle in the George H.W. Bush administration, where he served on the staff of the vice president. He's a great friend of this program and always welcome, especially at a moment when we're trying to make sense of what President Trump is doing in terms of immigration, a subject he has been writing about, including today, with great effect at Conservative HQ. George, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's so good to have you with us. Happy New Year.
Frank, always great to be with you, and Happy New Year to you too, sir.
Thank you. Well, we have just been talking with Michael Cutler, a veteran of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, about some of the national security implications of what the president is proposing to do here, which I think we'll all agree is essentially front-loading the things that make it attractive to the open borders, pro-amnesty, DACA supporters, and the like, and leaving for later, perhaps much later, some of the reforms, including building the wall, that the rest of us who elected President Trump would prefer. Give us just sort of your overall thoughts about this and what you expect to hear from the president concerning it in his State of the Union address tomorrow night.
Well, I presume that he'll try and sell this bad idea, but you're exactly right. It front loads all the benefits to illegal aliens and the open borders crowd, the cheap labor wing of the Republican Party, and puts off perhaps ad infinitum the real border security things that conservatives and the Trump populist conservative coalition voted for when they elected him. And I think it's very dangerous politically for Trump and Republicans, and very dangerous for the economic security and national security of our country.
Well, that certainly seems to be the case. Michael particularly made the argument that the kind of complete inability to vet the numbers of people that we're talking about, and he contends that 1.8 million DACA recipients is probably a very low estimate of those who would claim to be eligible for this treatment and getting permanent access to our country as a result, which raises a question about the national security implications of this. I'm interested, though, in some of the thinking that you've been doing, George, about the sociological and political implications of this. You've written a fascinating piece at Conservative HQ today about this is a formula for turning the United States as a whole into California. For those of us who aren't from California, George, would you give us a sense of why that's such a really frightening prospect?
Well, the formerly Golden State is now the poverty capital of America, and in large measure that is because the vast numbers of illegal and illegal immigrants, illegal and legal immigrants, that have found their way there. In Los Angeles schools, you have many schools where there are upwards of 90% of the students who do not speak English at home. As a consequence, these non-English speaking parents and students are consigned to the lower end of the economic scale. Their earning power, their ability to contribute to the tax base and economically to society is severely limited. And they are consequently very much interested in a large and generous safety net. When they're polled, they prefer answers like Obamacare, lots of welfare, lots of government support over economic freedom and limited government. And so what California has done, in essence, is import a bunch of people who support the welfare state. And consequently, we see the welfare state there growing. There's almost a million Californians who work in the welfare industry as government employees, and they naturally have a desire to have more clients. And so the politics in California have changed radically from the days when they elected Ronald Reagan as governor, and in large measure that's because of the importation of these left-leaning immigrants.
The question that I got into a bit with Michael Cutler, George Raceley, was when you look at this kind of, well, fundamental transformation of the electorate, as I think of it, you're talking about the prospect that, and indeed I would argue the intention, that the voters, the voting population of the United States will simply and forever henceforth be Democratic in you know, a majority. And I just, I can't for the life of me figure out why Republicans, noting, as you have said, that there are some who are, you know, cheap labor Republicans, the big business types, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce folks and the like, but why the vast majority of Republicans, and even those folks, for that matter, don't see this as a formula for essentially the demise of not just our two-party system, but perhaps even the Republican Party itself.
Yeah, no, I don't get it either, Frank. And there's plenty of solid, scientifically conducted polling, which indicates that new immigrants, particularly from Spanish-speaking and Asian countries, are not favorably inclined towards limited government, towards, you know, constitutional conservatism. They like the big welfare safety net. They prefer government interference in the economy. They're particularly Hispanics are less likely to support capitalism as a economic model than even members of Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, that's a stunning statistic that you cited in this piece. I must say that sort of took my breath away.
Yeah, and so Republicans, you know, particularly the open borders crowd, would like to sell the idea that these new immigrants are closet conservatives, that, you know, because people from South America tend to be Catholic, that, oh, they're pro-lifers, and, you know, oh, they're entrepreneurial, you know, they all want to come here and start their own lawn maintenance business or something like that. And it just isn't true.
Well, that could be true, but they're not necessarily conservatives when it comes to, as you say, the social safety net and otherwise trying to sort of tap into the principles of essentially the hard left. It's chilling. And again, I think you've done such a public service, George Raceley, at Conservative HQ with your piece that puts this into very sharp relief by looking at how this is working out for California, which has been living with and coping with, I guess it's fair to say, the effects of this huge influx of immigrants, many of them illegal. George, we have to leave it at that for the moment. I hope you'll come back to us soon. This subject is going to be with us, I have the feeling, for some time to come, and I look forward to visiting with you, and especially to the terrific analyses that you produce there at conservativehq.com. Check it out, folks. George, come back to us soon. Next up, we will speak with Ingrid Carlquist about how immigration is changing Sweden and much of Europe, as an insight into what may be in store for us as well, right after this.